Welcome back to Remodeling Reinvented, the podcast where we explore the world of home design, remodeling, and everything in between. I'm your host, Caitlin Copley, joined by our producer, Diana Volker. Today, we're helping you prepare for one of the most crucial aspects when remodeling, and that's financial planning. Joining us today is seasoned mortgage broker and finance expert, Chuck Schmaltz, who's here from Nexa Mortgage to share essential tips on how to financially prepare for your remodel. Also joining us is Jim Groen from Jackson Design and Remodeling, who you may remember from our earlier episode on remodeling versus moving. Welcome, Chuck and Jim.
Welcome.
Hello. How are you, Caitlin?
Great. Good to see you again.
Good to be here.
So today we're going to talk about how to plan for your remodel, especially from a financial perspective. So we're really excited to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So recently I attended this design build conference in Palo Alto, and an expert from Houzz said that 65% of homeowners in San Diego plan to live in their homes for 20 plus years, which I thought was a really interesting stat. Ooh. And it kind of brings up an important point that most of us will likely need to remodel at some point in our, you know, lifetime or while living in our home. So planning a budget can be very overwhelming for a lot of people. So my first question is, when a homeowner wants to do a remodel, what's the first step they should take when starting their kind of financial planning and that whole process?
I feel like personally, just knowing your number, I can qualify for up to this amount helps me to know what I can actually do. Can I do everything I want to do? Do I maybe for this point in time need to do just the kitchen? Maybe I can get a bedroom too, but can I get it all? It just gives you a great starting point for what can I really accomplish.
Got it. Okay. And can you talk to us about what your services are versus going to like their regular bank for a loan and how that would benefit someone working with someone who specializes in these types of remodeling loans?
Mortgage brokers, or at least for myself specifically, and it's been nice being 8 months just being with Jackson, but the biggest thing is knowing the different options. A lot of times a specific bank will have one or two options, but they don't have five or six. And so it's nice. Actually, that's the reason I chose where I'm at, is just being able to have those other options.
Yeah.
All under one roof.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And Jim, with that said, how do you recommend prioritizing different parts of your remodel? So how does someone come up with that? What are those priorities?
Well, you can take a project and categorize it. So for instance, if you're looking at doing a kitchen or bathroom or whatever, you first should step back and say, what is healthy and what is unhealthy with my home? Do you have a leaky roof? Do you have some siding that needs termite damage? Do you have windows that are leaking? And those are factors that may not be as fun as getting a brand new kitchen, but the longer you hold off on those things, it's going to snowball into a bigger problem
down the line.
So it's hard to stay disciplined of looking at the home maintenance as part of your project, but that should be considered as a factor. And then you can look at what are the different possibilities and projects.
Right.
You can also categorize public spaces versus private spaces. Do you want to do something that's going to allow guests and family room spaces and entertaining areas, things like that, versus your private, you know, primary bedroom suites, kids' bathrooms, things like that. So there's different ways that you can package and group your projects and then work on strategizing how you want to accomplish those.
Right. And sometimes maybe if somebody is planning to do their whole homes, we've seen it where they're going to do it in phases. So maybe they start with a few of their key rooms and then they financially plan for down the line and then decide to do, you know, maybe a couple bathrooms later on.
Yep. Yeah. Do a master plan and have a long range vision of what you want to accomplish. And then you can take it step by step.
Okay, cool. So Chuck, are there any benchmarks or percentages, such as the percentage of home value, that homeowners should use when planning their remodeling budget?
Typically, a bank will go 75% of whatever your construction, truly your value at the end. So if you have a $1 million home now, you're going to put 500 grand in and it's going to be worth 2 million. They'll actually go all the way up to 1.5 million, which is great. the actual remodel, at times they will go 80% of your current home if you were just doing a straight refinance. So they'll give you a little bit more, but you don't get the benefit of, once all my project is done, it's going to be worth more.
Okay, interesting. So now we're going to get into some of the more complex parts of the financial planning process, and that's the different types of loans. So,
oh boy, let me get out my dictionary.
So, Chuck, can you talk to us about what are the most common ways people finance a remodel? I know there's various options, personal loans, renovation loans. Can you walk us through the pros and cons of some of those options?
Definitely. So I feel like a lot of people use quite a mixture. They'll have a couple hundred thousand in cash, and then they'll need maybe another type of financing. Typically for me, I want to see what your current interest rate is on your current mortgage, and I start there. If you can refinance, that's going to be the cheapest interest rate. So that's a great place to go get cash. If we can't get enough cash, maybe we're going to look at the renovation loan or the construction loan, which obviously will give us a little more money. A lot of people use a HELOC. So interest rates were so good, 2021, you know, hey, my interest rate's 2.5. I don't want you to get rid of that. I want you to keep that. So then that's where the home equity loan or line of credit would come. And you would, it's a little bit higher on the interest rate than what your best new refinance would be, but you get to keep your best rate. It's a second mortgage. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I see a lot of that just because there's so many good interest rates out there. People are like 2.5 to 3%. You don't want to get rid of that.
Right.
Those were the days.
And are there better loans for someone who's doing a more large scale project? So say someone who's doing something that's, you know, 600,000 up to 2 million. Is that a better option for them versus something else?
It truly is each individual. So what is your current rate? I mean, it's kind of like back to the, what do I qualify for? If your interest rate is 5 to 6%, then a lot of times I'll try to go with the refinance. It is interesting. And this is the question that I looked at that I went like, man, this is intense, because you could take it from about 10 different directions. Jumbo loans in California get a lot different rules and regulations than if you're under a million, 77,000, 550. So if you go over that, it gets kind of different.
Okay.
But a lot of the people will at that point in time do a refinance just because it'll benefit them. So many options. I do love that. That's one thing. There are just so many good options. So,
right. Well, and obviously when you remodel your home, and we've talked about this at the Jackson seminars, it's the second biggest investment they'll make other than buying their home. So obviously there's tons of different companies and options out there. And do you see any green flags or red flags when someone is researching companies, especially working from a financial standpoint, where you're like, that seems fishy to me?
There's one specific point that Jackson, during the presentation on Saturdays, it resonates with me every time it gets brought up. And that is certain, and I don't want to be against anybody, but certain builders, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. I love the fact.
Great rule of thumb.
That's smart.
And, you know, specifically Jackson, having everything tied together under one roof keeps so many people out of trouble. I've seen people spend 2 to 5 to 10 grand on an architect, and literally the paper, it's not worth anything. It's a nice rendering and it's beautiful, but it really does me no good because I'm not going to use it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
From the contractor perspective, having one individual who confidently and says I can do that, those are the biggest for me, where I've had to go rework people's loans specifically because they're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Is where there's one person saying, like, I can give you the moon, the sun, and the stars, and then they open up a specific wall, and, oh, by the way, I didn't plan for that, so now this is going to cost you 25% more. And, of course, the cost in California, it's substantial. So that's where I've seen trouble. And it is a red flag to me when people say, I can do it for a lot cheaper.
Right. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And you brought up a good point about planning for unforeseen costs. So this is sort of a, Jim, you may be able to chime in on this, but how should homeowners plan for a contingency when doing their remodels?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two categories you can classify. One is the type of project. So say you're building a second story over a 100-year-old home in Kensington. There's a lot of questions about that. What's the homes that were built back then, the structural systems are uncertain, mechanical systems and even electrical wiring. So there's a lot of questions that would need to be uncovered. If you're doing your basic East County home, putting an addition on the side, single story, there's not a lot of variables that could impact that overall investment. So some projects have a bigger risk and need to have a bit more of a safety net than others.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other is, how well are you researching that project on the front side so that you're being proactive versus reactive?
Right.
The more time you can spend on the front to uncover those questions, to get experts to look at the different aspects about the project and to be definitive on what and how you're accomplishing that remodel, then that risk is greatly reduced. And so you don't have to worry about the 25-30% that Chuck was mentioning earlier that some contractors do, where, you know, we have basically a 3.5-4% contingency on all of our projects, because that's mm-hmm. because we do a lot of research on the front side before we commit to the construction agreement.
And that makes sense that, and it could even be certain areas in San Diego, especially that homes are older.
Mm-hmm.
There's things behind the walls that can't see. So it's just knowing that ahead of time and having someone have the guts to actually tell you the truth.
Yeah, you have to take an honest look at what's going on. Even like homes along the coast where there's salt air is constantly deteriorating those exterior finishes. So yeah, you just have to be realistic, be optimistic, but
yeah,
be realistic.
That makes sense. And Chuck, how do you strike that balance of being financially prepared versus overextending yourself? Like, I want everything, but I can only have this.
It definitely is. Jim just said it. It's the honest conversation here. You know, I want to give you $2 million, but I can only give you $1.5 million.
I can share a story that happened just yesterday.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
So we have a woman up in Solana Beach that wanted to do a whole home remodel. And speaking to her over the phone before we went out to meet with her, talked to her a bit about the project. And she wanted to create a approximately 2,400 square foot two-story home with a 800 to 1,000 square foot ADU. And she said she had an investment hope of about $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, great. And she had worked with a couple of other architects previously and wasn't quite hitting the mark with the vision versus what that investment could be. And in talking to her, I said, well, you know, again, what's the motivation for the project? What are you trying to accomplish? And she wanted to have rental income. And she thought that if she could have her loan payments being around $10,000 to $12,000 a month, that rental income would cover the loan. So I reached out to Chuck and I asked him, what is the amount that she can borrow to keep that payment between $12,000 to $10,000? And so Chuck did an analysis preliminarily and looked at what the property taxes would be and what the insurance would be. And he came up with and even looked at what she could potentially qualify for. And that ended up being about a $1.5 million loan that she could get.
Mm-hmm.
So in talking to her, when we actually were at her home yesterday, we said, well, we know that you have even a potential range of up to $2 million, but realistically, we may need to come up with a vision that's closer to $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And she really appreciated that because we're coming from a point of being upfront and realistic versus just going into design heaven and coming up with cool things that are twice what she could comfortably afford.
Because that's no fun later on when you're deep in it and you're too far ahead and you, it's just planning ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So having Chuck as that resource worked out really wonderfully in that situation.
Well, that's awesome. And Jim, I know we talked to you a couple episodes ago about remodeling versus moving. And I'd be interested to know Chuck's opinion, why you believe remodeling versus moving, is it still a good investment, even in this current economic climate? There's a lot happening and we have to stay on top of it. So if you want to talk a little bit about that.
If you look at some of the homes that I see that people are buying at 1.2, 1.3 million, they're not large. So I guess my whole point of this is to say the benefit of owning a home, if you already own it and it's 1,200, 1,500 square feet and you want to add on 500 or 1,000 square feet, you're already miles ahead of the game. because you've already got money into it. And you know, a lot of times you know the good, the bad. Hey, the dishwasher's bad or this is bad or whatever. But I feel like there's just so much equity to be had in California with the state of California saying like, hey, everybody do an ADU. It's going to, you know, most other states don't do that. They don't want you putting an ADU in your backyard. Here, we need it. Mm-hmm. And it definitely increases the value. I see that all the time where people spend $300,000 to $400,000, $500,000, and the value of their property goes up $1 million.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
That's significant.
It is. It's substantial. So you kind of go like, for me, when people want to do this, I feel like it's a great investment.
Yeah. And do you have any success stories you can talk about that, you know, you worked with them and it kind of accomplished everything they were looking for from a financial standpoint, from a remodeling standpoint?
That, you know, I've got a couple different ones. I'm trying to think specifically. The very best one is probably started at $1,000,001, put $700,000 into it. Value of their home is 2.8. They live in a beautiful area. So just kind of the old realtor buy in a place, you know, buy the leased home in a nice area. It's kind of what this person did. And so their value, it was, I mean, literally it was about $1,000,000 in value just by putting $700,000 into the remodel.
Wow.
Okay.
So that's fun for me.
Yeah.
It's fun for me to see that people are getting rewarded. And they did it right. You know, they came to me, how much can I afford?
Set
the number and went forward. So it was good.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. So, Jim, we've heard a lot about these tariffs over the last couple of months, and it seems to change on a daily basis. So can you talk to us a little bit about that and how it's affecting people who are thinking of remodeling, people who are in the middle of remodeling, and kind of what, from your point of view, what you do to help the clients?
Absolutely. And we've had quite a few of our clients asking us this question because they're just about to start their projects and they're fixed with their commitment and they're wondering what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm. It's a hot topic.
Yep. But tariffs, although it's getting a lot of noise with the news, looking at your overall investment with the remodel project is not that extreme. You're going to have a few project or a few products that will be affected by the tariffs, and that may be a 10 to 20% increase, but it's not affecting labor. It's not affecting builders' fees and margins. So it might affect your overall investment by 3 to 5% maximum. So
that's not bad.
I don't think people need to. And then you can make up that difference with the selections as you're working through that decision of what type of refrigerator, what type of countertop. So you're still in control of your project. You just have to be working with a company that can give you some options.
So before we wrap up, Diana is going to end things with some quick fire questions for Chuck. Oh, I know Jim was in the hot seat not too long ago.
Good job, Jim. Good
very
job.
Very intense and intimidating.
All right, Chuck, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, great. So what do you think? What's one splurge-worthy upgrade that is totally worth the investment in a remodel?
I like the tech, like smart home tech specifically. I feel like it's just going to always go that way more and more and more. So if you can do a little bit of that, most people that are mortgage brokers like me understand that ladies do about 90% of the purchases. So go kitchen, whatever it is. It's just the way it is. The husband might pay for it or help pay for it, but who's going to make the decision?
Well, smart women, apparently.
Very much so.
All right. And if you weren't a mortgage broker, what job in the remodeling world would you be most interested in, you think?
Well, and I guess it would be remodeling basketball courts. Jim said I would be a basketball coach. So
a basketball?
I could see that for you.
It definitely is. I get passionate about that. I could definitely. Project manager sounds like fun. As a mortgage guy, I do pay attention, start to finish. I'm kind of into it.
Are you detail oriented?
Don't ask my wife that question because that's probably not. She is great at details. I'm good at details, but so she's my processor, so it's helpful. But I think I always like going start to finish just because I've seen a lot of people in my business that will start and then they just kind of go away.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't like that personally. So.
As long as he can
the
have
ghosting.
As long as he can have 2 weeks off in March so he can watch March Madness.
Oh my gosh.
There we go.
Job that's description.
I did not know you were such right a there fan. I love it.
Okay.
Well, it's fun.
So for the last question, what is your best money-saving tip that isn't about loans or interest rates? Like, and maybe not, you know, coins in a jar under your bed. Well, like, what do you think?
Hey, I do that.
Oh, yeah, dollars in the mattress. Well, now we know.
Where to go
not
get the coins.
Not supposed to tell anyone.
I love it. I love the 401k match. I feel like for most people, it's like 100% return on your money right away.
Yeah.
And I do see that as something that a lot of people in the U.S. don't take advantage of. Like, you know, your company will match 6% and you only put in 3%.
That's so true. People aren't
a lot of people
doing it.
It's money that you don't necessarily miss, and it could just be building over time.
It's wonderful to see, you know, somebody else is contributing. Just the doubling. The
right.
doubling effect
if
is
your
so
company
good.
Matches that way, that's...
Yeah, that's awesome. Helpful. Well, thank you so much, Chuck and Jim,
thanks,
for
Chuck.
Being
thanks,
here.
Thank
we, you.
I think we definitely have a better understanding of financial planning and thinking about all of those factors, and we appreciate it. And that wraps up another episode of Remodeling Reinvented. We hope today's conversation gave you a clearer understanding of how to approach your remodel with confidence. From setting a smart budget to exploring your financing options and planning for the unexpected, the right preparation makes all the difference.
If you found this episode helpful, don't forget to follow Remodeling Reinvented wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.